This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you're with us, SB Nation AM, Monday. Brooks Koepka is the PGA champion, not Tiger, not Jordan, not Rory. It's Brooks Koepka. Again, another major title for Brooks. Brandon Chamblee says now he is a believer. You know, a lot of people weren't believers. You guy wins three majors and people are still like, yeah, whatever. What do you mean, whatever? In a sport that cherishes its major champions, Brooks Koepka had three going into this PGA. Opened with a course record 63 and dominated a golf course, at least until the final day when the weather kind of brought the course back in. Maybe a little nerves, maybe a little weather, but it brought the course back into play a little bit and scores were up. But nevertheless, he held on. The thing about Koepka that I've always liked is he doesn't rattle very easily. Right? Every golfer is going to have moments where he is going to be tested. Every golfer is not going to run away with the field. Good golfers don't run away with the field. There's sometimes you get in a battle or sometimes there's something going on and you may have to come back from something. Even Tiger had to do it in his major champion wins. There was a pesky Bob May lurking, or he had to shake a young Sergio. Right? There are a number of times where Tiger played majors where, yeah, he won it, but he won it by hanging on. And Brooks Koepka has dominated. Brooks Koepka has stared down Tiger and won. And now he played a mind game in his brain where he was giving the field back. He was putting the field back into play, or at least Dustin Johnson back into play, by making the bogeys on the backside. But when you got a 7-shot lead, there's different ways you can play it. Do you go for the gusto and try to extend that lead as big as you can? Do you play conservatively? How do you change your game, if you change your game at all? It's like what they say about hockey, you know, a 2-goal lead, most unsafe lead in hockey, right? That's the same thing in golf sometimes. Sometimes you have a lead and it's big and you allow yourself to sort of go, well, I can get away with this, I can get away with that, or I can give a shot here. And before you know it, they start adding up, but Koepka was able to at least stay the course and win this major championship. But he is still a guy looking for the attention beyond the golf world. And for golf, that's going to be a problem. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, by the way, when you spell that out. So the PGA Championship yesterday wins by Brooks Koepka. The Preakness was run on Saturday, and I didn't care because both the horses that were involved in the Kentucky Derby situation, Maximum Security, and what was the horse's name that even won the thing? They were both not in it.
I don't know.
There was one horse that ran without a jockey.
Yes.
That was great.
I mean, from the get-go.
Right.
Bucked him off, like took two steps with the jockey. Like, I'm not having this.
Jockey fell out. They opened the gate. The jockey fell out. And the horse ran the race anyway. That's pretty great.
Now, does the horse get disqualified?
Yeah, good question. That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, is it one of those things that he has to cross the finish line with the jockey on his back?
I got to think he would, right? Because you just can't.
I would think so, too. I have no clue.
So
the horse that won, I believe, was War something.
War of Will?
War of Will.
Yeah, that was the name of the horse. So,
but who was the horse that won the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, what was the name of that horse?
Maximum Security. That was the one that got disqualified.
That was the guy that got disqualified.
Country House.
Country House. That's right.
That's what it was.
The 65-1 shot, whatever it was.
But the one that everyone wanted to see was Omaha Beach.
Exactly. That's right.
You know, I'll be honest with you, man. It's a weak year for horse names.
I know. They can do better than that, people.
Yeah.
So, Bod Express was the name of the horse that ran horseless.
But I mean, jockeyless. I'm sorry, horseless, really. Jockeyless.
Horseless would have been fantastic. Just
now, that
jockey.
Would have been great. Just the jockey running as fast as he possibly can to the finish line. He listen to the way this article wrote this. He goes, taking one of the most memorable trips in the 149-year history of the Pimlico Racecourse, Baud Express followed the leaders without a rider on board, and at one point appeared to be the contender in the 13-horse race. Now, that would have been awesome. That would have been awesome.
Controversy.
So Bob Baffert says, you got to be careful because some of them try to win. I've had horses try to win. They actually run a great race sometimes. I've heard this. Again, I'm not in the horse racing field, but when I lived in Las Vegas, I worked at a station. We had a horse racing show on, and it was one of the best radio shows I've ever heard. It was brilliantly put together, and it had all this information. The guy who hosted it knew everything. And he used to talk about how horses just know. Like he says, I can't begin to tell you how they know, but they know their run. They know it, how to race. They love to race. And so you put them out there, they know what to do. And I'm like, okay, I trust you. It's like a dog. You know, when you take you show a dog a ball and it knows it's playtime, right? I'm sure a horse is in that same field, right? Hey, when we're doing this, this is what we do. This is how we have, you know, this is what you do for fun.
Yeah. And so there's probably times true. You know, the horse just, you know, doesn't feel like running. It's like, oh man, I'm just not feeling it today.
Right. And of course, the jockey's like, yeah, you have no choice. Get moving. Unless, of course, you have a stuffy nose and it will kick you out of the Derby.
Yep.
Any type of other ailment.
We forgot to pack your horse inhaler.
John Velasquez was the jockey. Now, can you imagine all the other jockeys seeing that horse take the lead? And you're like, we need job security. Don't win the race. Don't give these horse owners any ideas.
Wait, you mean he can run around by himself?
By himself? They had to try.
He actually knows where to go?
See, and When they explode out of the gate like that, they said the jockey wasn't hurt. That's pretty surprising. That sounds like that would be like pretty bad to fall out.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Gate?
You know what the problem is? I think we've all seen too many viral videos of people getting bucked off by horses, by bulls. I mean, I've been on a string of bulls goring matadors. It's fantastic.
Oh, God. Man,
it's fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a must-watch YouTube must video. Watch. you watch one, you got to see them all.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing.
You think Hollywood? You think Hollywood sometimes kind of warps our vision of things? Like we always, you know, we think if you get, you know, shot in the head, you know, shot in the hand or something like that, you'll die or things like that. Like maybe a guy just falls off and goes, oh, it's like falling off. It's just like falling down a couple feet. It might hurt, but you're not going to die from it.
Or the flip side of it, where you get stabbed twice in the abdomen, but still are able to find your sister, only to be crushed by a pile of rock.
That's right. Very true. Right. Where they pretend like it doesn't hurt or it doesn't hurt as bad, right?
You can get stabbed a couple times. Like, and I'm under the impression. Inside you.
I'm under the impression falling off a horse at a horse race would be life threatening. But he goes, nah. It happens. Right, what do you mean it happens?
If you get bucked from a horse, at the very least, you're going to break your neck.
Yeah, that's true. That's great. You know what would be really funny? If the horse actually ran the race and the owner of Baud Express pointed out to Maximum Security that he didn't move lanes by himself. Like, he's like, he didn't seem to bother any other horses while he was running around the track. Well done, cheater. By himself, he ran around the Pimlico racetrack, no problem. Goodness, it's funny. The jockeyless horse. What a weird horse racing year. Instant replay, and now a horse without a jockey was in contention for the Preakness.
He didn't care.
It's time to close up shop and start all over again.
Yep. Look forward to next year, boys.
It's done. No one's going to watch the Belmont. Nobody watched the Preakness.
No one watched... I texted you on Saturday or Sunday. And I'm like, we could talk. Who won the horse race?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know. Like, God, this is.
Did NBC bring a 25 team announcer group to Pimlico to broadcast Preakness? NBC. They bring Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Was it even televised? This is the whole thing. I mean, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around here, did it make a sound?
That's exactly right.
Did they even run the Preakness? The only thing we know about the Preakness is that a horse decided to run it by himself.
That's exactly right. That's all we care about.
I feel bad about saying that, you know, horse, but it's just the state we're in. It's horse racing.
I'm watching
a highlight here. Our man, Deontay Wilder. When we're talking about obscure Saturday sports.
Right. Yeah. He was in that boxing match.
Yeah. Where he said he admitted to he'll kill a man just because.
That's right. If he dies, he dies.
Yeah. Well, he almost killed a man on Saturday.
I know. One punch. Knocked him right down.
God, that looked like that hurt too.
God.
Amazing. Watching that, I just know I can never be a boxer.
I could never be a boxer. I don't even want to do it from the standpoint of like sparring where you get headgear and all that stuff.
Yeah.
No interest in that.
Doesn't look like fun.
No.
Doesn't look like something that I would be into.
No. Nope. I don't want to get hit at all. It looks like it's painful. And it looks like it's just, I'm not, and plus I think you gotta kind of be built a little bit for it. Like where you can, like you have the ability to sustain that kind of force. I do not. I would go down quickly and I would force myself to go down quickly so it doesn't continue. If that makes
sense. Oh, no. It totally makes sense to me.
Man, so a weekend of golf, horse racing, boxing, NBA basketball, NHL, the Blues are one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals against Boston. Oh, you know what I was thinking of? So yesterday, because I have a hockey friend that texts me, he goes, "Are you watching the game?" And I go, "What, the game six? Game three? It's like, no, game of the NHL. And I'm like, nah, I'm not listening. But if the Blues go on to the finals, they'll play Boston. And if Boston wins that series, that would mean three of the championships in this run of Boston sports excellence have come against St. Louis teams. It started with the Patriots beating the Rams. The Red Sox won their World Series against the Cardinals in 2004. And if the Bruins win the Cup against the Blues, that's total domination of the three teams the Blues have.
Wow.
Or had. Now they don't have the Rams. But nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying. So there you go. I'm kind of pulling for that. I'm not really pulling for Boston per se, but I'm kind of, you know, pulling for that a little bit. I don't know. I always find the little sports angles and the nuggets of wisdom that come my way. And you know what's funny? I bet my hockey friend didn't even think of that. I did.
Almost positive you didn't think of that.
He probably didn't even think of that angle.
The other thing,
for the possible Stanley Cup Finals.
I saw this, that if the Blues do go on to win and face the Bruins,
right?
It'll be the first time the Blues have made the Stanley Cup since facing the Bruins. And it was it's that iconic shot of Bobby Orr.
Oh yeah,
where he just spread eagle diving.
That's pretty awesome.
So, you know, if that has to happen, game one, they'll probably be doing the hype video before game one would be interesting to see.
And then they'll probably do that little retro, like they'll tease St. Louis, like the last time you were in the Stanley Cup Finals, bread was 8 cents.
Yeah.
Gas was 32 cents. You could buy a house for a family of four for $8,000. Ha ha ha. You're old. You haven't been here as much as we have. Ha, huh? That kind of thing.
Exactly.
I'll never get old. All right. coming up later on in this hour, we're going to talk the PGA Championship with Jay Coffin. That's how you pronounce his last name, right? Coffin is in. Yep. Okay. I just want to make sure from Golf Channel.
Yeah, he's the editor of golfchannel.com.
All right. Golfchannel.com on Brooks's win. And we'll ask him a couple of questions of some of the competitors. U.S. Open's coming up in a month. Less than a month. It's like Father's Day weekend. So with the PGA kind of in the books, how does the U.S. Open fare out for a number of guys, including Mr. Koepka? We'll talk about what with on at Bethpage. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, most of you aren't old enough to remember when a car came with a toolkit. It was stored back by the spare tire. You know, a small set of tools to help out in a small emergency. Of course, to save weight and money, those went away several years ago. One of the first things I do when I get a vehicle is put together some sort of a toolkit and place it back there, either where the spare is or behind the seat on a truck. Now, in my kit, I have a Swiss Army knife, pliers, a small set of sockets, and of course, duct tape and a handful of plastic cable ties. You know, if you can't fix it with duct tape and zip ties, you might as well start walking. Jumper cables, a can of Fix-A-Flat, and a couple of road flares. This is all Harbor Freight stuff, folks. There's really not much money invested. Throw all of this in an old canvas bag, and you're ready for your own minor emergency. This is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's the new letstalkwheels.com.
Every legend starts somewhere, and yours can start today at the Jeep Celebration Event. With great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup, explore the unknown in the unforgettable luxury of Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Be prepared to take your adventures even farther with up to 31 mpg highway in Jeep Cherokee. Experience the joy of open-air freedom like never before through the available panoramic dual-pane sunroof of Jeep Compass. And no matter where your travels might take you, Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year, is built to get you there. Start building your legend today. Hurry in for a great deal at the Jeep Celebration Event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, let's go to the phones. And Anthony from Sarasota wants to talk Miami Dolphins. 7-9 Miami Dolphins. Josh Rosen, Miami Dolphins. What's up?
Hi, Tony. I'm a first-time caller.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you can answer this for me. I'm a Dolphins fan. What is your realistic predictions for the Dolphins, realistically? Because, honestly, I don't want to – I feel bad for Josh Rosen if that happens. It happens again where the team that has him, that drafted, got him in the draft this year, ends up trading him again because they want to get the top quarterback in the draft. And realistically, I really don't like Tua. Tua's not, he doesn't look like a franchise quarterback to me. He looks like a star quarterback, but he's not a franchise quarterback. Is there a difference?
No, I heard that too. I've heard that too about Tua. I like Tua. I think he would be fun if my team were to draft him. I think he would be a fun quarterback to watch him play. But I understand what you're saying. There's a certain look to a franchise quality quarterback, and yet Tua doesn't seem to have it. As far as realistic expectation for the Dolphins this year, I don't mean to be wishy-washy, but it's so many variables to this team that it's hard to really peg down. Brand new head coach, Josh Rosen, who we have no idea how he will play at the position of quarterback with better personnel around him. Remember, Arizona was nothing except for Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, they really didn't have anything that he could utilize, and they were bad. And he was bad. Is he better if the Dolphins are better in certain positions and certain personnel? So I'm going to do what I normally do in this situation where I'm not really 100% sure and just go with 7-9 again or 6-10. How about you, Mr. Culver? Why don't we just stay middle of the pack on the Miami Dolphins? Why not? After all, what would they give you?
The Dolphins?
Yeah.
I don't know what they'd give me.
Look, Brian Flores is the new coach, and Josh Rosen. These are two variables that I have no idea how they play out.
I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody put out a list of, and they went ahead and decided to predict every game this coming NFL season.
Right.
And they pretty much said that, you know, don't take this for what it's worth. It's just kind of where, like, the bookmakers are going to place the odds. And so I was curious, and I looked at, you know, I was like, oh, I want to see what they have the Chargers. They have the Chargers going 14-2.
Whoa, never predict that.
Yeah, never predict that.
Never predict
that. But on the flip side, they did, I believe they had the Dolphins going 0-16.
Okay, don't predict that either. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. Like, don't predict 15-1, 14-2. If a team does that, that's usually an outlier, right? Normally, you're going to lose 4 or 5 games a year, even if you're awesome. That's just the way the league is.
I think where they were going with it was the fact of this is who is expected to be favored.
Right, I got you.
And by how much?
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And that's kind of where it was. But I mean, if it was the plan now, so I guess the Chargers would be favored in 14 out of 16 games. That's a lot of road games to be favored on.
Yeah, if you give me, exactly. If you give me like the Steelers, and I say, all right, you know, the Steelers, you know, I think they still should be 10-6, even without now that Bell and Brown are gone. I still think it should be 10-6. Okay, because I know. Who their quarterback is, and I know who I saw Connor James, I saw Juju Smith-Schuster. I have no idea. Josh Rosen, I have absolutely no idea how he plays the NFL quarterback position realistically. Right? A rookie with a bad, bad, awful team around him. Maybe he's better in year two. Maybe he's worse. Maybe he's exactly the same. Brian Flores, the new head coach, maybe he ejects new life into the group. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Two big variables for the Dolphins to make a prediction. So that would be it's a little tough. I don't mean to hem and haw on that, but it's basically how it unfortunately has to go. I mean, it's just the prediction business is hard. Let's talk travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year. And how are you booking your hotel rooms? Well, I got a suggestion for you. BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and extend these discounts to you. Simply go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and voila, you're looking at a discounted rate from many of the hotels that you could pay more for somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through BestHotelRates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation so your stay is safe and secure. BestHotelRates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, BestHotelRates.com. All right, so Golf Channel's, we're gonna get down to this PGA stuff. And now I have to say that the PGA, I kind of am glad it wasn't a runaway, but I really have some questions. Jay Coffin's going to join us a bit from the Golf Channel. I did tune in to see if Brooks Koepka would collapse, and he almost did. Almost. But not quite. You have a 7-shot lead. Well, that is hard. It's hard to give that away.
I mean, it's not only that. I mean, he's probably fortunate that the person who was chasing him down is notorious for collapsing.
Right,
and that was going through my mind the entire time of watching this. And Brooks is struggling. I mean, at one point he had 4 straight bogeys, and on the flip side, Dustin Johnson was making birdie putts. You know, he was doing great, but I just kept sitting there like, but it's Dustin Johnson.
Yeah,
he's notorious for collapsing. I mean, what, he has one major win, right? He finally did.
He has a U.S. Open from Oakmont.
He got that monkey off his back. But listen, it's not at all surprising that he finally captured the grand slam of being runner-up.
Yeah, that's what he's done. Yeah. Dustin Johnson, such a good interview, too. How's the play out there?
Well, play is hard. Course is tough. Putting was difficult. It's good to get out there.
I just
there
want him
play.
Once, just for somebody to ask him a question that's kind of negative, and he'd just go, I don't care. I'm going home to my wife.
Yeah, I'm going home to Paulina Gretzky. What do you want from me? Goodness gracious. If he could polish things up just a touch, he could have won that. He missed some short putts. But and again, I'm not one of those, if he had made the putt on Thursday, he would, no, because you don't know. I mean, you don't know how you play and whatnot. But he missed some short putts. He could have made this really interesting.
Yes.
What if Koepka stood on 18? Tied for the lead instead of having a 2-shot
lead.
Like if Koepka was on 18 was tied for the lead, does he cough that up? Because it certainly looked like he was ready to give that thing away. All right, we'll talk PGA Championship. What does it mean for Koepka now that he's won 4 majors out of 8 in terms of the eyes of the golf world and the eyes of the sports world? Can he cross over and become a megastar? It's a star in golf, but can he be a megastar? We'll talk to Jay Coffin from Golf Channel about that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Brooks Koepka, PGA champion, four majors of the last eight, back-to-back PGAs, back-to-back U.S. Opens, and he'll go defend that, try to win three in a row at Pebble Beach. Jay Coffin joins us, Golf Channel, to talk about the PGA at Bethpage Black. How are you, Jay?
Hey, I'm doing great. What's going on?
Jay, so the dominance of Brooks Koepka led to, at one point, a one-shot lead, but he hangs on, wins by two over Dustin Johnson. The biggest takeaway from the PGA Championship from Koepka's camp, what would it be, and what was the storyline coming out of this PGA Championship?
Well, I think this ended up being like the best thing that could happen for him in a weird way, right? Everybody's talking about him for 3 days, just absolutely running away from this thing. And then he had to sort of pucker and get nervous there a little bit. And I think the story taken away is, look, that he's won, all right, that he won his fourth major in the last 2 years, and that's amazing. That's the story. But you could see the relief on his face last night. You could tell that he was relieved that it happened, and I think that it's good that he was relieved that it happened, because he had to show himself something there in the later stages of that. He very easily could have got that sideways. And frankly, if DJ would have made two more pars there coming in, who knows what would have happened. So, you know, happy to have walked away and won. But I think when he sits down and looks at it, I think he's going to actually be thrilled that it happened the way that it happened, because he was able to hang on.
I saw the quote from Tiger Woods on Friday, and David Duval touched on it. I thought it was brilliant that everything that Tiger said about playing with Brooks Koepka on Friday was exactly what everybody said about Tiger Woods when Tiger was in his prime. Is he doing things differently? I thought we kind of had a bunch of guys who do things like Koepka that there isn't just one. He's just doing it better than those guys. Is Koepka far removed from the field in these majors in terms of his ability?
Man, I think he is. And to your point, I don't know why. And it's not. I think it's probably more a knock on those other guys. I mean, because honestly, why should Dustin Johnson not be able to do something like
right.
that? Why Rory McIlroy? You know, we saw Jordan Spieth, you know, win two and have a chance to win four in 1 year, and Jason Day and Justin Thomas and Justin, like why aren't those guys at least knocking off one or two during this stretch? That's the question that I have. And I mean, Brooks has obviously found something. He's a great front runner. Even though we saw, you know, it being tough to, but he's great when he gets out there. He loves these more than he loves anything else. And I think the other players do too, but Brooks just constantly plays with that chip on his shoulder, just constantly wants to prove you wrong, just constantly wants to tell people that he's the best, just constantly only cares about these events. And again, I think the other players do too, but I know that Brooks does. And maybe that's just the difference in that when Brooks gets up on that leaderboard, we're kind of like, oh, man, here we go again, just kind of like we did Tiger for the better part of a decade.
A lot of the golfers that you mentioned, like especially with Tiger growing up in the spotlight playing golf, and Jordan Spieth being a 16-year-old playing in a tour event in high school, and Rory being a young kid out of Europe who's taken the – I don't know much about Brooks Koepka's background. I guess he took up golf from hockey and played down in Florida. I don't know. Does that help or hurt Brooks that he didn't kind of grow up playing golf in the national spotlight?
I think it probably helped him, because that allows him to play with his chip on his shoulder. Like, he wasn't a known commodity, to your point. All these other guys we kind of knew about. Exactly what you just said. We didn't know about Brooks Koepka. He went and played at Florida State. He grew up as a baseball player. He played a little bit of everything. But played a lot of baseball down south in South Florida, just kind of turned to golf around 13 years old or so. And he has always said, too, that not that he doesn't love golf, but when he's not playing golf, he's not paying attention to golf. And I don't think that has endeared himself to actual golf fans. I don't think it's a bad thing, personally, as a journalist. I don't think it's a bad thing. But he's basically said, look, this is my job. And it's almost like he was so good that he stumbled into golf, that he could have done a lot of other things. And I think that, you know, makes him different. And look, I'm fine with different. You're fine with different. That's why we have jobs. We're able to talk about different. We like different. But I think that that's what was sort of a slow progression. You know, when he won that first U.S. Open 2 years ago, he didn't go in the late night talk show circuit. He didn't go do all that stuff to put himself in front of the camera. And then 8 months later, he's fussing that nobody's paying attention to him, even though he never put himself in the spotlight for people to be able to learn more about him. So it's just constantly a chip on his shoulder, whether it's his own doing, whether it's perceived or real. That's just kind of the way it's been, and that's how we got to where we are.
And this might be more of an inside baseball kind of question for those of us in the media that do, you know, that try to find angles and stories that people want. Do you find people want more Brooks Koepka information? I mean, Tiger sells, Tiger clicks, maybe Rory and Jordan do too, Ricky does. Does Brooks click? Does Brooks sell?
Not necessarily. And look, I will say this too, though. I think over the last 6 months or so, he's becoming more comfortable in the spotlight. So I think we can get there. We're not going to get to Tiger levels. All right, let's just put that in the parking lot. Not, you know, that's understood. But I think over the last 6 or 8 months, you've seen him talk out a little bit more about how he hates slow play on the tour. I think that that does endear himself to other people. You've seen where he talks about how he gets bored late in the round because there's just not much going on and not much action. You've seen him speak up a little bit more about the Ryder Cup and some of the turmoil there. So I think finally after a year and a half of being in the spotlight, I think you're finally now seeing him be a little more open and honest and more comfortable with his position and what goes along with that. So while we're not where I think we should be or where he deserves, I do think we're sort of sneaking up on it. And look, people love winners, right? I mean, if this guy still rattles off another two or three in the next year or two, we're going to Pebble Beach in a month. How could that guy, could very easily win at Pebble Beach. So if we see this kind of, you know, quasi-Tiger territory over the span of 3 or 4 years, people are going to have to talk about him and pay attention to him whether they like it or not.
All right, let's get to the actual tournament from a scheduling perspective. It seems the May date works. People like the weather. People like where it fit on the calendar. Did you feel like it worked? Did you feel like this was the right move?
Yeah, I did. And I kind of thought it was all along. And then when I got there, look, I got up there. I flew up there on Tuesday of last week. And I got to admit, it kind of felt weird. Like I knew it just was weird being in New York. The weather was awful early in the week. It was chilly and rainy. And it's kind of like, man, this just doesn't quite feel like a major. But you know what? You know, you get to Thursday and there's all this Tiger hysteria because it's the first time he played since the Masters. And you get Brooks doing what he's doing. And you get Brooks doing what he's doing while playing next to Tiger. You get all that. And, man, we were off to the races. So, yeah, I do like it. I like how the schedule sets up. We kind of have one a month here. And I'll tell you what's really going to be not weird, but something that we should pay attention to is, you know, the PGA used to be in August and you'd get done and you'd be like, okay, well, we got 8 more months until the Masters. Well, now the Open Championship in Northern Ireland is in July. So now when we're done in the middle of July, we're going to have 9 months.
No.
Until the Masters in April. That's when it might feel weird that the PGA has actually moved.
I want to basically try to simplify this next question as I can. Tiger missing the cut, is that a big deal or is that just something that happens? I know he was feeling under the weather. Is there a takeaway from this that of Tiger's game or where he's at from missing the cut at the PGA or maybe nothing at all?
To me, a little bit of everything you just said, I think it's nothing to worry about. He clearly did not feel well early in the week. He didn't prepare like he needed to. He knows it. He sort of admitted it. You know, he just didn't play that much. I do think the Masters took a lot out of him. And I think we don't ever really truly understand how much it took out of him and how much he worked himself into shape to be able to play well at the Masters and then end up winning. So everything that had to go into all of that on a 43-year-old frame that's pretty beat up over the years, to go and take a month off and expect him to come back. Now the bad is that him winning the Masters gave us these unrealistic expectations again. Oh, he's back. He's now going to rattle off a couple majors. That is unrealistic even for Tiger. I think this is where we are with Tiger. He's going to show up and have the potential to win and contend at majors. And he's going to do T49 and miss the cut in some and it's just all going to depend on his body and where he feels. I do think now that this sort of sets up for him to be able to play better at Pebble Beach. He's going to get some rest. He'll take a couple weeks off. He'll likely play the Memorial, have a week off, and then play the U.S. Open. So I think you're going to see good starts, and I think you're going to see bad starts, and I think that that's just the 43-year-old Tiger Woods on the body that he has right now. In any given week, either one can show up, and we're going to freak out whichever one does, but that's just kind of the way it is.
Jay Coffin joins us, Golf Channel, on Progressive Insurance Highline, talking about the PGA Championship. What'd you make of Jordan Spieth's game? Saturday looked awful, but kind of bounced back. Third place finish. How does he look heading into the U.S. Open next month?
You know, I'm surprised. I'm happy, right? Golf is better when Jordan Spieth is in contention and talking to his ball and talking to his caddy and just talking anything that'll look at him. Golf is better when he's playing well. So it's been a whole lot of fun seeing him struggle with that driver, seeing him struggle with his putter, which is really, really hard to watch, especially for such a young guy and a young guy that made every putt he needed to make there for the span of a couple of years. So I think it's good. I do think it's good, too, because, look, I was up there and I walked that golf course. That is a hard golf course. And I know that he has previously not been super comfortable with a driver. And, look, I think he only hit five or six fairways yesterday and still shot one over, which is pretty amazing. So I think for him to be able to have success at a place where even in his mind, you know, he had to have had a little bit of doubts because of how difficult it was in the rough with missing fairways, I think it can only be a positive. And to his point last night was, look, you know, these days, unless you're Brooks Koepka, you know, if you leave a major with a top five finish, how can you not be happy? Yeah. So maybe that was him talking himself into something, but I think there's something there.
One final thought. Beth Page, and a lot of people are now pointing this out, but with that crowd, as raucous as it was getting for that, 5 years from now, that is advantage USA, right, at the Ryder Cup?
Man, you're not kidding. Yes, yeah, absolutely. And look, I've been at the last three or four home ones in the middle of, you know, Minnesota and, you know, and just outside of Chicago, and those get pretty rowdy. And so imagine in 5 years, I got to think that Phil Mickelson is probably the captain of that
yes.
for five more years. I mean, my God, if you talk about everything conspiring to just shoot the Americans up the lead, I mean, it could get downright ugly. And I know some of the Europeans yesterday were even saying they might be a little bit concerned, but they've got 5 years for it to sort of percolate, and you better believe that that's what's going to happen.
Jay, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. I know it's a busy morning, and I appreciate you stopping by and helping us break down what we saw over 4 days at the PGA. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it. Take care.
You got it. Jay Coffin, Golf Channel, a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Go to progressive.com for the best rates on home, auto, or you can also bundle as well at progressive.com. Good stuff. Beth Page, 5 years, baby. Beth Page in 5 years. Listen to that crowd. They're going to go crazy. If Phil Mickelson's not the captain, somebody needs to be fired. Phil Mickelson needs to be the captain. You want to make him the captain in Rome? Fine. I'm cool with that. Just make sure he's the captain at Beth Page. You want to, you know, tell him right now he's the captain at Beth Page. He's the mayor of the town, for crying out loud. They love him there. I mean, they loved him in 2002. They sang him happy birthday at the U.S. Open. I think they did it twice. By the way, at Bethpage in 2009, he almost won, real quick, he almost won that U.S. Open. And this came after Amy, his wife, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was fighting breast cancer. And he took time off from golf to be with her and to take care of her. And then when he got back into the game, he went to the Open and almost won, and they loved him for that. They loved him for that. They loved him for just being Phil. They love Phil, and he better be the captain at Bethpage in 2024. Because if he's not, somebody needs to be canned. SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Game 4 tonight, Golden State in Portland. That's the Trailblazers' last chance to get, you know, one at home and see what happens. You know, never know.
down 3-0. No, I do know. They're not going to win this series. So just end the thing and give the Warriors all the rest they need to win another championship. By the way, Jay Coffin said something really astute I thought was pretty interesting. Why can't the other golfers do what Brooks Koepka's done?
Exactly.
Right? Listen, Tiger changed the game, right? Jack changed the game. Jack, I've already told you this. Many of you know this. Jack Nicklaus, when he played the Masters, Bobby Jones said, that kid plays a game I am not familiar with. Because Jack hit it so high and so far, and it destroyed Augusta National. I mean, just Jack Nicklaus at 22 ripped Augusta National to pieces. It was so short compared to his length. Tiger did the exact same thing when he came on tour. 3 woods longer than guys' drivers. 5 iron, 7 irons when guys were hitting 3 irons, right? Change the game. Brooks Koepka's not doing that. Brooks Koepka's not doing that. Brooks hits it a long way, but so does Dustin, so does Rory, so do a lot of guys on tour, right? Brooks has a good iron game, but so does Rory, so does Jordan, so does Ricky, so do a lot of guys. Why aren't they in contention? Why aren't they winning majors? Why doesn't Ricky Fowler have a major yet? If Brooks is getting 4, he's not doing anything different than the other guys. Tiger did do something different. Jack did do something different. How in the world is Brooks Koepka continuing to win these majors and Ricky Fowler still doesn't have one? And Rory hasn't won one in a while. And Jordan hasn't won a tournament since he won the British Open in 2017. Good for Brooks for saying, all right, these mean more than anybody else.